They are the fucking worst. Right?
Yeah.
They're the fucking worst.
Gil-galad being the High
elves,
King, I still don't like that he's like,
elves,
yeah, elves do
elves
suck.
Suck.
There was like so much fitness stuff that I wanted to get into this, and I can't remember any of it now. But that being said, how's
are you
fitness,
doing the
Nopen? Carlos?
Are you doing the Nopen?
I don't know. I haven't like looked fully into it. I just saw that that guy was doing it, and I was like, oh, I got to send this to Carlos.
I am not doing it.
Yeah.
The Nopen is for an actual CrossFit athlete. I am not a CrossFit athlete. But
yeah, I haven't looked at the workouts, so I have no idea.
The workouts are actually pretty, they're pretty fun. I may try them.
Okay.
I'm obviously, I may do them scaled because
I was going to say, you can always scale them.
Yeah. But there is no scale division in the Nopen.
No, but you can scale
I could
them.
Scale them. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like 7 minutes of burpees. So classic old CrossFit open workout. And then another workout was what did it start at? I think it was like 27, 21, 18, 15, 12 maybe of shoulder to overhead.
Okay.
Or ground to overhead, sorry, ground to overhead. And then 72 in between each one. So in the middle, right? You end with the overhead movement. But in between the opening overhead, ground overhead, and the closing ground overhead, 72 bar hops.
So like just jump overs?
Jump over the bar.
Interesting.
2 foot takeoff, 2 foot landing.
Huh.
So
depending on the weight.
It was like 95, 65. So it's not,
okay.
It wasn't too bad. So that was week one. And then week two, he just announced, which is like, it's 6 minutes of like row. I forget, 90 calorie row.
Mm-hmm.
And then max toes to bars.
Oh.
And your score is your toes to bars.
Interesting. Okay.
And then you get a 1 minute rest.
Okay.
And then 3 minutes of unbroken thrusters.
God, I hate workouts like that.
One, and then two, and then three, and then four, up to, you know, either
as many as you can do.
Yeah, unbroken. So you have to do a rep of one, drop it, pick it up, do two unbroken, drop it, pick it up, do three unbroken. The weights, this is the interesting part, right? The weights are 165 for the men, 115 for the women.
I can't do one.
Wait. At that weight, you're automatically given 30 points. You could go a lower weight, which is 115.
Oh,
I think.
okay.
And your score is whatever score.
Whatever you get.
So if you get through, I forget what it was, but like you add that plus 30.
Yeah.
To the higher weight. So if you could only do one unbroken.
There's no way I could do a single 31. Thruster right now at 165. There's no way.
I could probably
have that power in me right now.
I did. Well, I think that's what I did for the open.
Oh, really?
Was 165 pound thruster. I think I can get one and do 30.
Yeah, I mean, if you get 30 points, you get 30 points. It's better than doing 30 thrusters.
I didn't sign up for it. I should have signed up for it. He's fun to listen to. I think he's a total like Dave fan.
Yeah.
His workout, like the workout for this week, he's named them. I think the one last week was like one of them was Dave. So.
Yeah, it seems like he seems like the type of person that was like CrossFit was best like 5 years ago, guys.
During regionals.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, he's kind of like that, but
You mean when you were actually able to get to the games because you can't now because you're not a good enough athlete?
But to his point, right, about the open, there are like, you know, he had a post recently where he totally called out Laura Horvath.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Cause her, Gabby Magala, and her brother all got the same major penalty for one of the quarterfinal workouts, which involves strict handstand push-ups. And I was actually just listening to one of our old podcasts while I was walking the dog, where we were talking about her and her inability to do handstand push-ups.
Yeah.
And it's just like, yeah, if you're only going to get like a 15% major penalty, right, across the board, like
then
your incentive is to cheat.
Yeah.
Right. And screw someone over. Like, even if she had like done it right to the standard, she would have still qualified. She would have been lower during the, during the quarterfinal seeding. She still would have qualified. He had a great post on about like the penalty system that they should be doing. Right. Mm. Which is like increasing tiers and like increasing levels. So like a rating scale, like if it's like a brand new movement, right, and a bunch of people screw it up,
right,
like then like V-ups, like the V-ups that they did this year.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
you've got to let something slide on that one.
Right. But like, what's her face again? Dani Spiegel, like, cheated again in the quarterfinals with her reps. And then like there was a whole controversy because he called her out on it, because the Buttery Bros had posted a video of her doing her quarterfinal workout, and you could see her using her grips, her gymnastics grips on the bar, which you're not allowed to do, which has been the standard for years. And so she knew that. And then she says, oh, well, you know, Heber posts on Instagram. Well, she redid the workout, but then she didn't because the penalty was, you know, whatever. So I think it would bring in a little bit more integrity to the games.
Problem is that I think that the game side of CrossFit, and I haven't paid attention as much to the training side lately, but the game side of CrossFit is kind of just being lazy about a lot of things.
Yeah.
Like, they're being really lazy about a lot of things. And I don't know if that's like a personnel issue. I don't know. Like, I mean, I have no idea, but it seems like they are just being significantly lazy about a lot of things. Like the one that you initially sent me was him talking about all of the complete fuck ups with the adaptive athlete.
Oh, yeah.
Thing.
Yeah.
And they just put out another article talking about that. CrossFit did.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what you guys just put out doesn't make it any better. Like, I feel like you were trying to do like some PR with this, and it like, it's not showing that you guys are putting in any effort.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. You are basically telling people you are not disabled enough.
Yeah. I think I have a good idea for the games going forward, right? The Open going forward is like, there are athletes who want to do this competitively and advance through the different stages. Like, almost every program out there has a program designed to get you to place higher in the Open, right?
Right.
And are you on the cusp of like qualifying for quarterfinals? Cool. Join our program and sign up, and we'll get
it's
you
like
there.
It's like the old regionals athletes,
right? And like, if that's your bag, man, like, cool, like, nice cup. if that's your bag, that, and like, that's your thing, then cool. Like, here's a division just for the people who want to go through it this way.
Right.
Right. It's all your games athletes who typically go to the games. It's all your professional CrossFit athletes who want to advance. They're in their own group. You can up the weights. Right.
Yeah.
95 pounds for Guy Mijeros is nothing, or, you know, for an overhead thing. Right.
Yeah.
And I get what they're doing is this is for the entire community. But, you know, CrossFit gyms always have your RX and your scaled, and some have RX plus. Right. So RX plus isn't anything new. There's your division for the people who are going to make it to the games.
Yeah. Well, and like, I think that there are, like I said, like with the lazy thing, especially with things like adaptive athletes and with scoring, like you if it's something that you actually want, like, look, if you don't like if you don't want to be inclusive, the games did not have adaptive categories for a really long time.
Yeah.
Don't do it if you're not going to do it right.
Right.
And so, like, it's like this whole thing is, you know, that with them setting those types of requirements is ridiculous. Like, he talks about this and the idea of, like, nobody is going to just claim that they are an adaptive athlete to win at the games.
Yeah. I
Like,
think
nobody's gonna, like, no one's gonna do. It's that same idea that you hear from idiots that talk about, like, oh, well, you know, if a college athlete just wants to win, then a male college athlete will just say that they're trans and compete as a female.
right.
You know what I mean? It's like, nobody just wants to do
Yeah,
that.
no one's gonna do that just to win a fucking medal.
Like, it's like,
Like,
that's dumb. I mean, it's like we've
because
talked
they
about this
train
before.
for it.
Yeah, like, we've talked about this before. One, it's not just random people that are going in. Like, they're like if you can't fucking take their word for it, it's ridiculous. Like,
Yeah.
and don't have all of these different divisions if you're gonna say, like, oh, well, yeah, maybe you have a neurological issue, but it's not enough.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's
But
like,
like that one woman had like oh your thing's not that bad. She's like, I literally like my
I
arms are
cannot use my arm.
yeah.
Yeah. Like, they're like, well, you have your arm still. She's like, so it would be better off, even though I cannot use it from, like, the elbow down, it would be better off if I had it amputated and then I would be allowed to. Like,
Yeah.
it doesn't work.
Yeah.
It does not work. And it's like, well, it's not part of the category. It's like,
Yeah.
you guys need to figure your shit out. Like, that's
Yeah,
ridiculous.
you're not gonna get everybody, like you're not gonna reach what you want to reach if that's kind of how you're operating, right? You
Yeah.
want you're not gonna get the global reach that you want if that's how you're operating. I
And
think
again, like that.
I honestly hope that like this Nopen thing, because it's getting traction, right? You
Yeah.
sent me that morning chalk up thing, which I had already seen. Because I follow Andrew Hiller on Instagram, and so
Right.
I already seen that on his
You
Instagram.
already knew.
Actually, I saw it because it popped up on my from Morning Chalk Up. But like other people in CrossFit are going to see that, right?
Yeah.
I'm sure people like there are CrossFit athletes who I see on his Instagram who are like, oh yeah, I like that, right? They liked
Yeah.
this, like so and so like this. They're not your big names, right? But like,
Right.
I don't know if you know her, but from Torian Pro last year, Georgia Pryor.
Yeah.
She like barely missed out on
Yeah.
making it to the games, right? And they were, and I remember the announcers talking, it's probably Sean Woodland,
It's
talking
always
about
Sean
it.
Woodland.
It's always Sean Woodland, talking about her and saying like if Oceana got like more spots,
Yeah.
she would be at the games, right? But because of how they distributed those, what's up?
Speaking of Oceana, who's not going to the games?
Tia,
No.
oh Ricky,
Fuck that Fuck that guy.
I'm gonna go out on a limb here and I'm gonna say it's underdog on the underdog programming or crew or whatever the fuck it is,
Yeah.
because that was a Daniel Brandon's thing too, and he's training with that guy, and you know.
Yeah.
Anything that guy, it seems like whatever that guy's touching, like kind of goes away for a minute.
I mean, you can say that he got injured
I'm just
mountain
saying that.
biking, sure, you know, but it could be a number of things
Could
of
be a number of
why he's
things.
not there.
I'm not saying anything.
You know, we can, sure, maybe he did get injured mountain biking. All right, I'm gonna stop doing that. But I am happy he's not gonna be there, because fuck that guy. He just seems like a fucking jackass too. Like, he just, like, I want to punch him in the head.
You're just mad.
He
You're
would
just mad
murder
for
me.
Pat. You're
Like,
just
he
mad
would
for
full
Pat.
on murder me, but I want to punch him in the head. Yeah, I'm mad for Pat. God damn it.
I
That's
think
my
you're
boy.
more mad for Pat than Pat is for Pat.
At this point, probably he's like, it's done now.
Yeah.
Like, but yeah, I
But you
mean,
asked me my fitness.
Oh yeah, but
you asked me about my
how's
fitness.
your fitness?
It's good. I am on my deload week of cycle six of Wendler. I'm actually hitting my last Wendler cycle next week.
Nice.
So I'll be
how are you feeling
working
about it?
Towards that. Frustrated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just
I'm
things
hitting
aren't moving
I'm
the
hitting
way they're supposed to.
well, I'm hitting that wall, right? I'm hitting
Yeah.
that wall where it's just like I'm not doing like a crazy amount of reps for like my one for my 5-3
For
one
your
plus,
plus.
right? Yeah. And so we'll see where my deadlift is. I don't
Yeah.
think I'm gonna get 400 on my deadlift. I think I need to do some more like accessory stuff.
Ugh, I need that 400.
I need
that
that
400 so
400.
bad.
Like looking at my beyond the whiteboard, like where my lifts are, my deadlift is so much lower than my back squat.
Yeah.
It's depressing.
I just still like I always go back to like the video in my head of Tia lifting that 405 at the what was it 2018 2017 games.
I think so.
And just like her like monster face when she did it, and I'm just like, not even close.
That's
I'm
her when
not
she
even
does
close.
any
I know now,
lift.
like,
Yeah.
I have you seen some of the quotes from her
Mm-mm.
where she's just like, oh, like some people have asked her if she's coming back. She's like, I am beyond stoked to come back. Like, she's gonna come back and just destroy this place for another like 2 or 3 years.
Maybe. I think she'll destroy it for another year.
Oh,
I mean, there's only so much that you could do, like winning it over and over again.
I mean,
Like,
tell that to Matt.
yeah, Matt stopped.
I guess that's true. He's got a whole bunch of people working for him now.
Yeah.
He's got freaking Amy and Greg Averett working for him, doing the Olympic lifting. He's got a huge crew
Yeah.
on that hard work pays off crew.
HWPO.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, I mean, that's good. So this will be your first one that you've actually completed then, right?
I completed one other one.
Okay.
Did I? No, you know what? I think I got bored with it around this cycle and I was like, fuck it. I'm just
Yeah.
doing my maxes now.
You're like, this is stupid. I'm
It's
done.
done. I don't want to do another month. What am I going to get from another month? Yeah, this might actually be the first time I finish it
Nice.
in the 3 years that I've been doing
You've been doing it.
yeah, it'll be the first time that I finish it.
Nice.
How's yours?
Not bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been, like I said, I've been climbing.
Oh yeah, you joined a gym.
Mostly climbing. I still do like I do I've been doing a lot of like just bodybuilding stuff in my garage.
Yeah.
But like going to the gym, I've only like worked out in the gym area twice. I really just go there to climb, which is a great workout.
Yeah.
And it's like sometimes I walk out of there really sore and sometimes I'm fine. But yeah, so that's kind of been my fitness. I've been like the shit I've been doing at work is a lot more physical lately too. Like I've just been lifting and moving a lot of stuff lately. Like it's getting warmer, so it's getting easier, and
Yeah.
It's better now. You know, I can go into the garage without freezing my ass off, and I can actually take my motorcycle to the gym instead of walking in the snow.
Yeah, that's always nice.
Yeah, so that's like it's good. Overall, I do feel better though. Like I
That's
feel
good.
like I've got something. I was going to say, so I am, at least for a little while, going to have in my house, in my possession, a rower.
Nice.
So,
Oh,
seems like we may need
marathon.
to do a little Lord of the Rings marathon.
I have to get another TV put
Whilst
into the garage.
rowing. Yeah, I think that'd be fun.
Fun. Yeah.
It'd be good times.
I wish I, you know what? I wish there was an easier way for me to track what we did last time. And instead of like, I'm gonna have to like really dig through my
go back
history.
and look at pictures and
No, just a history, like to know like what I did for like what we did for each
I mean, I took pictures of my piece of paper because I wrote down all of my meters on a piece of paper.
See, look at you thinking ahead.
Yeah. So I took, I mean, I took photos of all of that. But yeah, you're going to have to go back on Beyond the Whiteboard. And
yeah, I'm going to have to look. I'm pretty sure I posted that on Beyond the Whiteboard. I think it was like a half marathon. And I think I wrote my splits.
Yeah, we did. We did a lot. I think we rode more. Did we row more for the Hobbits?
No.
No,
we
did.
We rode a half marathon. We did a half. I did a half marathon for the Hobbit, and then we did. I think it was full marathon, or I think you might have done a little bit more than a full marathon for
Lord of the Rings.
Lord of the Rings. Remember, yeah. We had to change it because we said anytime they're walking, and like they're it always fucking walking.
Yeah, it got bad.
The Rings.
Yeah,
that we actually had to. For the Hobbit, row.
We had to do more.
We just were like, fuck it, we're just gonna row the last like 20 minutes.
That's right.
Yeah, the nice thing is I've got all that on like my Prime Video, so I could just like cue that shit up and like run right into another.
Yeah, it'll just boom, boom, boom.
Yeah.
No, that'll be good.
Let's do that.
I think that'll be a lot of fun. Yeah, we'll have to schedule it out like sometime in the next few weeks.
We'll see.
We can live stream it on shit.
Not in the next few weeks.
All right. We'll do it. We'll do it soon, though.
I need my life to like calm down a little bit.
Maybe by the time that this is published, we'll be doing it in the next few weeks.
Do we have another? Like, I was walking the dog.
There's another
like,
one.
I had to go back and listen to the Tom Bombadil one. I'm like, I'm pretty sure I heard this one already before.
Yeah, there's one. So
like,
there's,
I don't have a new episode to listen to.
There's a history between the last one that's on there and this one that we're doing right now that I haven't published it.
Yeah.
Because I'm bad at life.
You know who got out of this life?
Who's that?
Who wore an intro.
There we go. Yeah, I mean, so like after what we just talked about, right? Fall of Gondolin has happened. All of the refugees have made their way down to Sirion, right? And they're chilling there. And Tur and Idril are like, you know what?
We're good.
We're done.
We're good.
They bounce on the same year that their son gets married, which is, I don't know, like they marry him off and then they're like, all right, we're out. Like they're empty nesters now. So they're like, we're going on a cruise.
I mean, if you're the daughter-in-law, then like, yeah, you're like, sweet, my in-laws are gone.
Yeah. The interesting thing is we don't really get anything about their voyage. All that we know is that they made it.
It was a 3-hour cruise.
They made it to Valinor. And I have to say this again because I just love the wording. Alone of all men, Tur is said to be counted among the Eldar.
Look at that.
Which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
We don't really know what that means. Like, was he transfigured? Was it like a...
Transmogrified?
You know, like, and elf, you know? Or like, you know, we know that like in the reality, the only thing that is different between elf and men is their spirits, right? Their fae.
Their height. But Tur was already pretty tall.
Yeah, Tur was just a big person anyway. And so like, you know, really, was it just like, and change your sphere? You're good. You're an eternal now.
Ears.
Even ears are up for debate.
Beard.
You think he had a beard? And suddenly it like came back into his face?
It shoved back into his face. Like reverse
just
Play-Doh. Like a
just
reverse
like
Play-Doh machine.
Shaved off on its own.
Yeah, it just all fell off.
Yeah. But yeah, Eärendil and Elwing are also married that year, right? And they are
remind me, who is Elwing tied to?
Elwing is the daughter of Dior, the son of Beren and Lúthien.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's
so
important to know.
That's very important because now you've got, because that's where this all comes from, right? You've got Tur being of the House of Men. You've got Idril being Noldor. You've got, I actually don't know what her mom was because we don't hear anything about her except for the fact that she died crossing.
I don't remember actually. But isn't also this like, Or maybe I'm getting ahead of myself. No,
this is
I'm
the,
not.
Yeah,
this is
why
like
it's
the
all.
merging. This is the merging of like the three houses of
Yep.
men, right?
It's like the three houses of you've got, because you've got Baron as well, right? So you've
You've got
got
Baron, who's I forget. I
not
forget.
Hador, but the other one.
Yeah. So you've got the Baor, House of
Right.
Baor, right?
Right.
And so you've got Baron from the House of Baor. And then you've got Tor, whose father is the golden haired people, right?
Yeah,
And
he's
then
of the
his
house of
mother,
Hador, and his mother is of the house of
the other one.
the other one. Yeah. I
We're
know. Man, we are scholars.
definitely people who should be in charge of the trivia.
The end of the First Age is weird, right? Because there's like a
I
lot
think
that
you said that a couple
happens.
times.
Yeah, but like a lot happens, but it's kind of spread out throughout time,
Right.
right? So yeah, we've got we now have the marriage, the joining of basically all three houses of men, plus elves, plus Maiar. Like that is the marriage of Eärendil and Elwing, kind of bring in all of that,
Yeah.
right?
Oh, that's a good point too, 'cause yeah.
Because Melian,
Yeah,
yeah.
Melian, Teleri, Noldor.
Yep.
Was there Vanya in there somewhere? There must have been Vanya in there somewhere. Vanyar.
Maybe.
Maybe
I mean, if
maybe that's where Idril's
I was
mother.
gonna say, maybe that's yeah, maybe that was
We should
Turgon's.
ask one of our real scholar
I
friends.
know. I don't think we. I just don't think we know about Turgon's wife. I don't think we know what family she came from.
Someone knows. Someone
Maybe.
knows.
But the problem is they are living their life in the mouth of Sirion, right? And the sons of Feanor decide that they are being tormented by not fulfilling their oath, the remaining sons of Faemor. So we're dealing with Maedhros,
Four.
Maglor, Amrod, and Amras,
How
right?
many
At
were
this
there? There
point,
were seven,
there were
right?
seven.
Seven.
Yeah.
So now, a little, there's still more than
Yeah.
50%.
It's just the three Cs that are dead
Yeah.
at this point. So they're like, you know what? This is dumb. We know where one of the Silmarils is. We know that the other two are with Morgoth, but one is at the mouth of Sirion. So what do? They be jackasses again.
Well, let's wait, right? One of them is Maedhros,
Right.
right? The probably the most reasonable of the four,
Yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Who decided, right? And then really the one in charge, right? If
Yes.
you had a leader of the House of Feanor, it's Maedhros because he's the
Right.
eldest.
Right.
And so the other brothers should be listening to Maedhros, right?
Right.
It was the muster of Maedhros, right? That failed, way back when in
Right.
one of our histories. So clearly, his brothers listened to him because, like as you said, like there, this is the end. It's weird. There's a lot of stuff that happens over a great span of time.
Right.
Maedhros, after the fall of Doriath, actually felt bad about what they did in Doriath, right?
Yes.
And doesn't do anything about the oath
For a little bit.
for a little bit, right? Because
Yeah.
now he's being tormented. I think what was going on is that typical brother thing where his younger brothers were picking on
Yeah.
Maedhros to the point where Maedhros just got fed up and was like, fine.
It's so annoying. Like, it's just an annoying thing that, like, they're like, yeah, you know what? Fuck it. We're gonna do it for the third and final time. We're gonna go and we're gonna fuck up the other elves. Now, it takes them a while to get there, right? So it's Elrond and Elros are born before this happens, right? So Elrond and Elros are born about 7 years after Eärendil and Elwing get married. And so it's been a little while, and they've just been stewing over this idea that they know where the fucking Silmaril is, right?
Right.
And they like call out and they're like, hey, we want it back. And like one of the things was they did it again. They did it in that idea of like friendship again. Right. So they send an envoy and they're like, hey, fucking that, sucks that you're here, man.
I think you mean an envoy.
Is that what I said?
You said envoy. I was like, is he going with invoice?
I'm gonna fight an invoice.
They sent him a bill. Here's a bill. You've been holding on to our Silmaril for too long.
Like, super sucks what happened in Gondolin. Like, it's really trash. I'm really sorry about everything else that's gone down. You know, would you be cool if we just took our jewel back? And like, there's the fuck, man. Like, Tor is not even here right now. Like, Tor is kind of the guy that's in charge. He's not here. We don't know where he's at. I don't like, we're not going to just give this up, right? So they're living their lives for a while, and it's okay because like Elrond and Elros are alive. They're doing their twin thing. They're being cool and shit. And then suddenly, out of nowhere, Eärendil's like, hey, Idril, or not Idril. What's her name again?
Elwing.
Elwing. He's like, hey, Elwing, I want to go find my parents. And he just like bounces. He goes to Círdan, because everybody has to go to Círdan when they want a ship. And he goes to Círdan and he's like, hey, I want to go find my parents. Can you build me something cool? And they build Vingolot, which is, you know, important. It's an important ship.
It's an important ship.
Right? What was it? What does Vingolot mean? Seafoam, I think.
Seafoam, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Be on the trivia.
Seafoam.
Yeah. I'm sure. I actually think it is on the trivia.
I think it's been on the trivia before.
Yeah. So Vingolot, you know, means seafoam. So Eärendil is just like, yeah, I'm going to go. But Elwing is like, I'm not going to go. I'm going to stay here because we've got two, like, 7-year-olds. So
we have children,
I guess. Like, cool. And so he goes searching, right, for his parents. He assumes that they went to Valinor, but like that, like they don't have email. Like, he's got no idea. Like,
where else would they go, though? Like, where else
know.
Would they go? Did they not tell anybody where they were going? Like, hey, we're done. Like, we're just gonna leave. We're hopefully gonna find Valinor, and that's where we're gonna be.
Like, look, if you don't hear back from me, it's because I made it to Valinor.
Just think that I made it to Valinor.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. Just assume that. Like, no matter what, just assume I'm happy in Valinor. Like, it doesn't matter where I am. Just like, assume that that's the thing.
Christianity.
And he's out there and he's not finding anything, right? And he can't get past the fucking, you know,
enchanted
isles. He can't get past the sea, like the, you know, the misty seas and all that shit. He can't. But he's just going around until like one day he gets that feeling, right? Where he's like, I need to go back. And the reason why is because it had been about, I think, 2 or 3 years maybe at sea.
Scurvy.
And the reason why was no oranges.
Yeah.
So that is when they decided to actually march on the third kinslaying.
Yeah, the mouth of Sirion.
Yeah, so they march there and they're going after the Silmaril. These are the refugees of Doriath and Gondolin. Like, just have not had a good past 2 decades, you know, like they're not living their best life. And they show up, and the thing that really sucks is Eärendil is too late, Círdan is too late, and Gil-galad are all too late. Like, they are all too late to do anything about it.
They are the fucking worst. Right?
Yeah.
They're the fucking worst.
Gil-galad being the high
elves,
king. I still don't
suck.
Like that he's like, elves, yeah, elves do
elves
suck.
Suck. Yeah. Right? They have no sense of like open a fucking calendar.
Yeah.
Right? Schedule something. Because like seriously.
You're
like,
always
this,
late.
This is the third time.
Yeah.
What was what's the saying? Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Yeah. Like, you guys.
What about fool me thrice?
Three times. Yeah, we're fucking idiots. And we
yeah.
suck.
Oh, nope. That's me. That's yeah. on me. That's totally on me
still.
On me.
That's still on me. That's still on me. I should have learned the first time. I should have learned the second time.
And they're almost completely wiped out. Like, yeah. These guys are almost completely wiped out.
This is my point, though. Like, they've done this two other times already, right? And they've done it one other time where they said, like, hey, give us this thing.
Right.
Or this is going to happen, right? They did that to Nargothrond, essentially, right?
Yeah.
Didn't they?
Well,
it wasn't Nargothrond. No, it was Doriath. It was Doriath.
Yeah, because it was Doriath. It was with Dior. Thingol,
it was with Thingol.
Well, they did it with Thingol first, and they knew that they couldn't get to Thingol. Yeah, then they did it to Dior.
That's right. They did it to
and
Dior.
They killed
and then they
Dior.
Sacked. No. Yeah. I'm come all confused. too many killings.
All the murders.
It's hard to keep track of all your murders. they did this already, where they said, "Give us the thing that we have sworn a blood oath to the death that dooms our souls, or we will destroy you."
Yeah.
And then they destroyed that place. And so you have people who were there when that destroying happened, right? The people of Gondolin, whatever, right? Theirs was a separate destruction.
Theirs was different. Theirs was
unrelated,
Morgoth.
Unrelated to the Silmaril, but still kind of related to
but
the
but still kind of a thing.
Still kind of related to the Silmaril. The people of Doriath who were there, those guys suck.
Yeah.
Right? They're just like, what are they going to do? Kill us again? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what they're going to do.
Well, and also, like, fuck, like, Gil-galad is the fucking high king. Doesn't have
Gil-galad.
Guards. He
fuck
doesn't
Gil-galad.
Have guards there.
Círdan.
I know.
Círdan's the closest one there.
But I mean, at this point, Gil-galad was still with Círdan, wasn't he? Because they lived together for a while.
Weren't they at the Isle of Balar? Didn't Círdan, fuck off to the Isle of Balar because he's like, this is perfect because no one can hurt us here.
Yeah, he did.
Oh, there's some refugees here? Nah, let's just leave them on the shore.
Fuck those guys.
They're my people. Some of them are my people. Some of them were his people.
I know.
Some of them were Teleri.
Yeah.
Because they're from Doriath.
Yeah.
And he's like, fuck that. You stay on the shore. I'm not going to help you.
I mean, I fucking hate, I don't like Gil-galad anyway.
All those guys can fuck off right now.
Gil-galad's a fucking high king.
You know when I realized he all knows this those, right knows. Now? I just realized all this right now.
You're like, I hate every one of them. Every single
every
one of them.
Every one of
those
them,
guys.
Man. Like, seriously.
Gil-galad is the high king, and he can't protect the people who have the fucking Silmaril?
Yeah.
Like, they have
that
it.
Should be priority number one. Like, those people have the Silmaril. Maybe we should up the security around the refugees.
Sorry. As High King.
Hey, Círdan, as High King, I need you to take those people onto your island.
Yeah.
Like, nah, fuck off those people.
I would say, as High King, you have two choices. Either protect the fuck out of that Silmaril, or tell them, give it back so that nobody dies.
Yep.
Like, those are the options that you have. Like, and you did neither. You were like, oh, no, they'll be fine.
Gil-galad is a bad ruler.
A camp of refugees. Oh, yeah, no, they'll be fine. They'll protect themselves. It's okay. What? Now, in all of this chaos, Amrod and Amrest died. So we're down to the two M's, and that's
During the kinslaying.
During the kinslaying, Amrod and Amrest die.
So,
And
what happens to the remaining refugees who
now they go to the Isle of Balar?
Now we can bring you.
Well, there's only about 50 of you now. So.
When's the best time? When's the best time to bring you during a battle? Let's bring you during a battle.
Yeah, it's fine because you guys won't like take over everything at this point. There's only like 50 or
that's
so
what it was. That's what it was. He didn't want that many people on there. Yeah.
This island's not that big, guys.
Círdan is the original NIMBY.
because of what happened in Doriath and the sadness that it gave Maglor, he decided to take Elrond and Elros and basically raise them as his own, right? Because this has happened before with twin boys, and they ran off into, well, they were technically chased off into the woods, and they died. Or as far as we know, they died.
Chances
They were
are
never
they
heard of
died.
again, right? And so, and that had been eating at Maglor this whole time, right? So he takes, I love that it's like benevolent, like he fucking kidnaps these kids. Like, yeah. Like, let's be real. Like, he kidnaps, yeah. Like, people are like, oh, he's foster dad.
We're
no,
hostage.
He kidnapped these
no,
kids.
No, they're hostages.
Like,
yeah. So he's still sailing.
He is still at sea, and he's still lost, and he's freaking out, right? What happens, though? Elrond and Elros get taken by Maglor. Elwing's like, fuck you guys. I'm taking the Silmaril, and I'm jumping off the cliff, because that is what people do in Middle Earth. They jump off cliffs into the sea.
Cliffs are everywhere. There is no beach.
No, it is just cliff, sea. There's no sandy beach. It's cliff, sea.
The only place where the sea meets the land at a reasonable slope to, you know, ground level is like the mouths of Sirion.
Yeah, that's it. That's
like
it.
Literally just where the water comes out.
Yeah, that's,
and then
that's
like,
the only place.
There's like 2 feet, and then it's just like a sheer cliffside.
Yeah.
So she climbed up the cliffs just to throw herself
just
off.
To jump back off.
At least she didn't walk like 100 miles like
Hurin. Hurin.
Hurin. Who walked all the way from Doriath to go find a fucking cliff to throw himself off
like,
of.
I'm like, dude, you were a long way from the sea.
That was some like, dedication.
Like, you were a long
way
from the sea,
dedication to, like, to throw yourself off a cliff.
So she does that, and Ulmo is like, hey, this elf is in my water, and she's got the Silmaril. I'm going to turn her into a bird. How do we feel about that?
Swan.
Bird? Maybe.
Swan?
I mean, it just said bird.
Was it a bird?
Yeah, it just says a sea bird.
Why did I picture a swan? Maybe because of the boats.
Yeah, probably.
Swan boats.
Swan
boats.
And this is how we get this, is she's flying out and Eärendil is sailing in. He has no idea that this bird, this random ass bird, is his wife, right? But she flies out. She flies like directly at him and passes out on his boat as a bird still.
Yeah.
Still a bird, and he picks her up,
and he
like,
goes, "This bird is sexy."
Yeah. It's like, he's like, "I'm gonna hold this bird and fall asleep on my boat." Like, he isn't, and he wakes up. He's like, "Oh my god, it's my fucking wife!" Like, she's suddenly back into herself, which I like. Maybe he had a feeling, or maybe that was like a legit shock. Like, you wake up, you're like, "There was a bird here, and now it's my wife." And I don't know how I feel about this situation.
Like, my wife a bird now.
Have you always been able to do this?
I mean, like... her name is Elwing.
Yep. Done. Love it. Elwing. I've never thought of that. That's great.
Really? How
no,
you never
not
thought
once.
That? Her name
not
is
once.
Her name in Spanish is The Wing.
Elwing. Oh, I love it. So in about 2 years, the fun thing is Morgoth gets what he wants. So he about 2 years after that, there is a point in time where all elves and men, or all that are like
what's left of,
yeah, what's left of, are on the Isle of Balar.
Well, there's still men on Beleriand.
There are.
But they're Easterlings, and we don't like Easterlings because
this is all elf propaganda.
Edain propaganda.
Yeah, and so Morgoth controls Beleriand at this point, which was his goal this entire time. And he's a god. He doesn't care that it's taken 1,000 years.
It is like, but a blink of the eye to Morgoth.
Like, that doesn't matter. He's like, yeah, I got what I wanted, right?
Yep.
But it doesn't last very long. Because finally, everybody is on this island. My guess is getting far too crowded. People are like, I don't like what's happening here. We need to figure something out. And Eärendil is just like, you know what?
These men keep populating like crazy.
It's like, what is going on? Well, they don't live as long as you, you assholes. Eärendil's like, okay, here's the deal. I am going to go plead our case to the Valar.
Right.
And he's like,
at this point, they're still in the ocean.
Yeah.
Right. He's been at sea for like, what, 3 years?
Five at this point.
5 years.
Yeah.
So it's him and Elwing, and they're just like, and we three need dudes. Three. Oh, that's right.
Because he always brought the same three guys that always like went on all of his voyages with him.
And so they finally decide, like, we need to try to find Valinor, yeah. Right?
And
definitely need to try, which is a lot easier when you have the light of a Silmaril with you.
Yep. And that's, like, that's the thing, right? It even says, like, the elves say that the reason why he made it was probably because of the Silmaril.
Right. You know? How did Tuor make it when he didn't have the Silmaril, though? So.
Right. Yeah, well, that's a good point.
Right? Maybe Olmo just kind of...
He was just
across.
Like, I'll let these guys through. They're fine.
Yeah.
They're cool. I mean, I know these guys.
That's probably what it was with Tuor, right?
Yeah.
Was the whole Olmo connection. He's like, you were late, but you did deliver my message.
Yeah, you did what you were asked. And so he like they get to Valinor, right? They pass through the Sundering Seas, they get through the Enchanted Isles. They even go past Tol or Arisaea, right? And at that point, you've got all of these elves looking out at this ship, thinking like, "What the fuck
was it? Is that true? Weren't they all like at a party?"
No, so there were elves at Tol or Arisaea still, because they kind of didn't care about what was going on in Valinor.
Yeah.
And so there were people there. There were elves there that were like, the fuck, there's a ship, right? And they didn't actually like beach all the way, so they get close to the shore, and Arendelle's like, all right, so here's the deal,
I'm pretty
sure they're gonna kill us all, so I'm gonna go and you guys stay here. And Elwing's like, if they kill you, then that's it for us, so like I'm coming too.
Yeah,
right.
And the three guys are like, okay, boss.
Yeah, and the three guys are like, yeah, I'm going to stay right here. Like, I love sailing with you, dude, but I'm not meeting any gods today.
I'm gonna make sure the boat doesn't float away.
Yeah, I'm gonna check for leaks.
Yeah.
It's good check for leaks. And
I'm going to raise the mizzen mast.
And so even then, though, Arendelle starts on his way, and he's like, all right, Elwing, here's the deal. I'm the only one who's supposed to deliver this message, so you stay here, right here. Don't leave. I'm going to go. And I feel like he's actually gone for a long time. And I'll get to why I say that, but there's a point in the book, I was telling you that I've kind of listened to this chapter like over and over and over again the past few days. There's a point in this book that I'm like, how long was he gone? Like, it seems like he was gone for a while, because he gets to Tuna, right? As the guy who narrates says, Tuna. He gets there and he's like, where the fuck is everybody? He's actually afraid that Morgoth's reach has reached Valinor and like something horrible has happened.
Right.
Right? He's like, what is happening? I don't understand. When really they're just Valar being Valars, right? And they're having a fucking party again. Well, it's what they do all the goddamn time, apparently.
Valar and elves.
Yeah. And so they're just having a party. They're doing their thing. It's actually the same party that they were having when the trees got sucked dry.
Right.
Same festival, whatever it may be. I don't know.
Festivus.
And they show up and Arendelle's like, all right, guys. So here's the deal. Things are fucked in Middle Earth. Seems like you guys are having a great time. But Morgoth has taken over everything there. Elves are killing elves. I'm coming here though to just say, like, can you please forgive the Noldor? And if men have to stay in that shithole, can you come help? Like, just like round up your brother, man. Like, he's being an asshole and like it's bad times. And the thing is like, They kind of say yes almost immediately,
which is unusual for the Valar.
Yeah,
like, because we have that passage early on in the Silmarillion where they're talking about think it's right when like the whole like Feanor thing happens. Like they find out that Feanor's father was killed by Morgoth, right? And they have this council, and Feanor's just like, you guys are taking way too long to to come
like,
up with a decision.
Like, why aren't you doing something?
Why aren't you doing something? Well, I'm going to leave.
Yeah. Yeah, because it's the whole thing, right? Like, time doesn't matter to them.
Right. So, yes, that is...
I feel like he presented it enough to a point of, like the second born of Iluvatar are going to get wiped off the board if you don't do something.
Yeah.
Right? And so they're like, okay, cool. But... there's a little caveat with that, okay, cool, because what happens is Mondos is like, so what are we going to do about this dude?
What are we doing with the human?
Because, like he's here. He's not supposed to be here. Are we just going to let him leave? Like, he can't really do that. And then Olmo chimes in, and he's like, hey, bro. Calm your emo shit down. This is why he was born, right? Like, I led Tuor to Gondolin so that this kid could be born, so that he could come and talk to us. Like, this was his purpose. Like, this is what he was supposed to do, right? And Mondos and Olmo kind of argue back and forth about this. Like, Olmo's like, just fucking let him go. It's fine. And Mondos is like, nah, man. Like, I just live by the law. Like, this
rules
is
rules, bro. Yeah. And you're too wishy-washy there, water guy.
And then Manwë, again, kind of an uncharacteristic. I feel like there's a lot of uncharacteristic Manwë going on here because Manwë's a fucking asshole. And this is like a little uncharacteristic of him.
Manwë's not an asshole.
He's an asshole. I don't like Manwë at all.
He's just uninformed. He's not uninformed.
He's ignorant.
He's naive.
Naive. That's the one. Naive. He is. But he jumps in again. And he's like, basically, like, whilst you guys were arguing, I have conferred with Papa, and he gave me the power to say what to do, right? And so Manwë is like, so here's the deal. Elwing, Arendelle, you guys get to choose. You get to choose what you want to be. Your sons also get that choice. And Arendelle just looks at Elwing, and he's like, what do you want?
Why did she have to choose?
I don't know. But he gave the option to both. And so Elwing is like, well, I'm going to be an elf.
She's like, I've always been an elf.
Yeah.
I'm going to be an elf.
I like it
here.
You can
be an elf too.
And to be completely honest, I'm tired. And so Arendelle is like, cool. Because I love you, I'll stay here, right? And so it's at that point, and this is true. Yeah. And this is true. Arendelle, though he goes back, he never sets foot on Middle-earth again.
That's true.
And that's kind of something that is like said at that point. But what they do now is they're like, all right, cool. So here's the deal. This is what we're doing.
We're all going to Middle Earth.
You guys are going to stay.
Everybody get in the van.
Yeah, like, you guys are going to stay here. Hey, Arendelle, we're going to put you in Vingolot. We're going to put you up in the sky with the Silmaril. How do you like it? He's like, fuck yeah. I've been sailing seas all day. Now I get to sail in the sky. Let's do it. I'm down. Right? And then he's like, okay, so here's the other thing. We got to get all of our forces over. And this was interesting because what happened here was really kind of cool because so all of the Valar go, right? And it's said that the Valar dress themselves in like the embodiment of like youthful power type of thing in this moment. But then you also have what I think is really interesting is the Teleri, they go, but they don't help with the fighting. They're like, we will be your fucking Uber, but we're not getting into shit once we're there. Yeah. Because I remember what the fucking Noldor did, and I'm okay with them coming back, and I'm okay with us saving them, but I'm not going to fucking fight for them.
That's reasonable. That's more than reasonable. Like, I would have been like, oh, you need my boats?
Oh, you need the ships again, huh? You need the ships again, huh? Those guys
go fuck themselves.
Oh, you suddenly need the ships again? You know how long it took us to rebuild that fleet?
What are you going to do? Kill us again?
Yeah. And
the fourth Kinslane.
And bam. And so they all get over there. Now, it doesn't go into like the details of how like the Valar and stuff get there, but it takes time. The interesting thing too, though, before they get over to Middle Earth, pretty much that next day, like they were putting Eärendil to work again. Yeah, go.
Here's what I don't get.
Go. Give it to me. What don't you get?
Fucking Olmo raised a goddamn piece of land. No, he raised a goddamn piece of land up from out of the sea and then had it move from one side of the earth to the other side of the earth. Why didn't you just do that again for everybody?
Hey guys, grab on.
Hey, hang on here. We're just gonna move this island over there. We're just gonna slam it.
Everybody grab a chunk of grass.
Yeah, just hold on to the grass. There's a tree right here. Everybody hug the tree.
I mean, he should have. It would have been easier than boats.
Yeah.
How
many boats we got? Seven? How many do we need? 700? How long is it going to take you to make a boat? About 1,000 years.
But like that first day that they're there is like the day after or whatever. They're like, hey, Eärendil, we're putting you up in the ship like right away, man. Like you're going straight up into the sky.
What happened to his crew?
They got sent back
to Middle Earth.
Yeah, they went back with the fleets.
Okay.
Yeah, so I think they ended up chilling because technically they can like Tol Eressëa isn't technically Undying Lands, or is it?
It's not.
Yeah, so I think they could.
It is in the realm of it, right?
So you
have
not
to
technically,
be able to find it,
right?
But it's not Valinor proper.
Right. So they, I think that's where they chilled.
It's an unincorporated area of Valinor.
They did take, they did take Vingolot and they like hallowed Vingolot, right? And they were like, all right, this is your spaceship now. And it was funny because like, it was like the second day that they were there that he goes up into the sky at night, right? And that's where, you know, our now understanding and interpretation of Venus, yeah, that's Eärendil with the Silmaril. But as soon as Maglor and Maedhros saw it, Maedhros goes to it was one went to the other and he was like, dude, bro, there's no way that's not a Silmaril. Like there's no way that is not a Silmaril. And they were kind of relieved.
He's like, fuck, we're never getting that one back.
Like and they were kind of relieved, right? Because they were like, well, I mean, that one's out of reach. So at least that one's off the table. We don't have to deal with that shit anymore. Right. And the other two are with fucking Morgoth. So we're not doing anything there, but everybody, the whole fleet, except for Eärendil, he doesn't come until much later, but the whole fleet makes their way over to Middle Earth. Right. Valar, you know Tolkas is fucking having it. Like he is ready for this shit, right? Valar going, everybody's heading out. And so starts the War of Wrath, which lasted 40 years. 40 years. I had no idea until I was like preparing for this podcast that it lasted. I thought it was like they showed up, they fucked shit up, Beleriand fell into the sea, and they were done.
Yeah.
40 years
it's a lot of fighting.
It is so much fighting, which makes way more sense that whole area was destroyed.
Right.
Like, it was a long ass battle. And for most of it, Morgoth didn't show his face.
Till then.
Right. Because he was like, he was scared.
Yeah.
Like the fact that the Valar actually finally came. Yeah. Like the fact that the Valar actually finally came out, like he has only ever been defeated when the entirety of the Valar come to Middle Earth like that. Like, and so seeing that happened, he was like, oh, fuck. Like, they're actually here. So the first thing that, or so a bunch of shit happens, right? He basically like opens the doors, releases everything. War is happening. It's starting. Valar is going nuts. Men and elves kicking ass, doing things. And then Morgoth is like, yeah, but you haven't seen these yet. And he releases winged dragons. So we'd only ever seen non-winged dragons before this. And he releases winged dragons. And it's not like, it's not just like five. It's like hundreds of winged dragons. And the Valar actually had a hard time with them. Like, they were like, the fuck is this shit? Like, when did Morgoth learn how to do this?
You're still a fucking Valar, though.
Right?
Right? Like, you command all of Middle-earth.
Yeah.
Like, Ulmo can, like, travel the waters and like raise them,
yeah,
and like do things, right?
Yeah,
Yavanna can like make things out of plants.
I'm pretty sure Aule can just hammer anything he wants.
Yeah,
Tulkas, I'm
use your imagination,
sure.
Bro. Yeah, you create fucking dwarves. I'm pretty sure you can create like a crazy sick weapon.
But I also think that this is one of the biggest reasons, like the winged dragon specifically, is one of the biggest reasons why Morgoth is so weak at this point, is because he's putting everything that he has into the creation of these evil things.
Yeah.
Right. And so like, and these winged dragons are the last of it. And, you know, as Morgoth does, he's got one pet among all of them that he like feeds the evil flesh of something, I don't know, and makes it gigantic because somehow you can hide a dragon that's the size of a mountain.
He does that a lot.
it's like
what was the fucking
the Karkaroth?
Yeah, Karkaroth.
Yeah. Yeah. Like,
here,
just
dog,
like,
eat my flesh.
This
get
is my
strong.
Favorite one. This is my,
this
favorite,
is my favorite
one.
One. My
like
favorite
one
gets to eat me.
And so you've got these, like, so, and Caligon comes out, right? And Caligon the Black, that's the one that
I thought you
all
said
of
Cali comes out. I was
Cali.
Like, what?
And Caligon the Black comes out. He's the dragon that all of the nerds like to talk about because he's this giant ass fucking dragon. He's like the size of a mountain, right? He's this huge dragon. Now, what's funny is that what defeats, so not the Valar, what defeats the most of the winged dragons,
love,
including Ancaligon, fucking birds. Like, Eärendil shows up in his ship and he's like, boom, bitches, comes up, and he's got all it says.
Does he do the Han Solo thing?
I hope so.
Where he like comes out of nowhere, like, yeah.
I swear. Like in the book, it says that he comes with all of the birds, all of them. So like, all of them are with him, and the eagles. So like, he's got the Lord of Eagles, right? So the eagles make a little more sense. The eagles are big, right? They can kind of fuck with a dragon and whatnot a little bit. You all right? Like,
I lost
they can,
my headphones.
The eagles can fuck with the dragon a little bit. Like, that's okay. But like, what, you got seagulls? Like, your sparrows are going up against
thrushes.
Like what's happening? But ultimately, what beats this giant mountain-sized dragon is a guy in a boat. I don't know how that happened, but it did, and
he's got a
I
boat.
Love it. Like, it's got a boat.
He's got
like
a boat.
It's, so
he's and, on a boat,
and he falls, right? And Caligon the Black falls and destroys Thangorodrim. In this fight, nearly all dragons are Balrog, and Balrogs are killed.
Except for one Balrog.
Well, it says a few, actually.
Oh, does it?
Yeah, it says a few made their ways into holes and caverns.
There's still one somewhere.
Yeah. Orcs are wiped out pretty heavily. There's still some, obviously, right? But they're pretty heavily wiped out. And the Valar get to Morgoth. They put Agnor, is that what it's called?
His Anganor.
Inginor, whatever it is, that which is the chains, like the shackles that took him off the first time.
Yeah,
right. That's what they put him in the first time. And so it says that one of them like hews his feet and he falls down on his face.
It's probably Tulkas.
Probably because Tulkas loves to fuck shit up.
Yeah. But they beat his crown
around his neck.
Yeah, around his neck. And then they attach Anginor.
Yeah, and they attach it so that he's like having to kneel. So he's like in this like wrapped up position type of a thing. And then Eonwe, who like everybody talks about Eonwe being like this badass and stuff, and I understand that it's written kind of that way, but I'm like, I don't know. Like he's fine, I guess.
I mean, he's Gabriel the Archangel.
Yeah. Eonwe takes the Silmarils from Morgoth's crown, right? And he is the one who is kind of in charge of them. Yeah, he's like, they're mine now, bitch. Putting them in my pocket. And as he does this, Maedhros and Maglor are like, hey, 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 hey. Those are ours.
We'll take those.
And Eonwe's like, okay, look. You're going to have to take it up with my superiors. I'm only doing my job here. Like, I can't do anything for you. I'm just doing my job. I'm not trying to be a dick. I'm not hassling you right now. If you think you have a claim, you could have a claim. You got to talk to my superiors.
Did he actually say that, though?
He did.
I kind of want, like, why am I thinking like he's like, nah, this is like.
So he says to them, he says, your claim is void. Like, basically what he says is your claim is void. However, if you want to, like, go after that claim.
If you want to appeal that decision.
You have got to go and talk to the Valar. Yeah. Like, they will decide. So, you can come with me. Like, you're more than welcome to come with me. Like, everybody's basically given a free pass to come back. Like, Noldor, doesn't matter. Like, you can come back with me.
And ban is lifted. Ban is lifted.
But
I just can't give it to you.
No. And he's like, I can't. Sorry guys, but no. Maedhros and Maglor have this whole conversation, and I'm like, as I'm listening to this conversation and reading this conversation, I'm like, Maedhros, for the longest time you have been very level-headed. Fucking listen to Maglor. Because Maglor over and over again is the voice of reason in this conversation. Because Maedhros is like, they're right there, we can take him. And Maglor's like, but why?
Yeah.
And he's like, well, if we don't have them now, if we go to Valinor, then they'll not give them to us. There's no way that they'll give them to us. He's like, okay, cool, but like we can't have it anyway. He's like, if we go there and we talk to them, maybe they can have the ban lifted because we're giving up on like our oath, yeah, right?
On this prideful oath that we made.
And if it's Manwe and Yavanna who we had, because like Maglor says this, we had Yavanna, or not Yavanna, Varda. We had Manwe and Varda as witnesses to our oath, but they're the ones calling us out there. They're the ones asking us to like talk about this with them so they will lift it. He's like, yeah, but Maedhros is like, but we did it in the name of Iluvatar, and Iluvatar is not there, so who's gonna bring it to Iluvatar? And Maglor's like, dude, you're not listening, you're talking in circles.
Maglor's like, we don't have to do it. Yes. But yeah. Maedhros is like, yes, but listen to me. What if we did it?
And Maglor keeps saying, like, the way that you are saying this, Maedhros, is that we're fucked either way. So let's just go and see. Like, if we're screwed there, then we're screwed there. But if we do this, if we do what you are asking me to do, if we kill and then steal these Silmarils, we are full-blown fucked. Like, we are, like, absolutely screwed. And Maedhros is finally like, no, we're doing it. God damn it. And so they go in and they murder, again, a bunch of people in fucking Eonwe's camp. And they take the Silmarils, right? And at that time, the Valar are like, don't go after him. don't go after him. What's going to happen is going to happen now. Like at this point, it's up to them, right? And they have him, and pretty much instantaneously, Midas realizes that he made the wrong decision.
Yep.
Because he's holding a Silmaril in his hand, and it is burning, uncontrollably burning his hand, right? And he realizes that Eonwe was right, that he no longer has a claim to this. He probably could have just gone back to Valinor, and his fucking oath would have been taken off of him, right? So he jumps into lava. Like one does.
This is a change.
It's a change
from jumping off a cliff.
It is a change. So he jumps off of lava. Maglor, however, does find a cliff, but only casts the Silmaril into it, not himself.
Does he find a cliff? I thought he just cast it into the sea. He went to the one shore.
No. You're telling me that he went to a beach and he threw it in the sea? You know that he was on like a 3,000-foot cliff and he chucked that into the ocean.
He walked to the nearest beach.
He skipped it.
Yeah.
Like, doom, 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 doom. So Maglor got rid of his, and the fate of Maglor is unknown. All we know is that he apparently walked around the beach singing sad songs, and in the 60s was known as Brian. Oh, damn it. I lost his name.
God damn it, dude. I was going so well. No, you weren't.
No, Brian what's
Adams.
His name? No, not Brian Adams. The Beach Boy. Brian.
Oh,
doesn't matter. It's fine.
Yeah.
You know, because you get it. Beach Boy, sad songs. He wrote all the sad songs this Beach Boy did. Brian, fuck, what was his name? Brian Wilson.
There you go.
Yeah. That was good. And I had it and it was gone. And I'm now.
So you got to write your jokes down. And his name was Brian Wilson.
Brian Wilson. And
wouldn't it be nice if
right? And at that point, this is when Morgoth gets banished into the void. Now it's funny because this is one of those things that we talk about, that it depends on where you see the legendarium and the myth going. If you, like I do, believe in the Dagor-Daggarath, then you will know that he is not banished forever, right? That he does
come
back. But
it says he's banished forever.
There are things that say that, yes. There are other things that don't.
Forever.
And so I believe that he will be back during Dagor-Daggarath, and Turin will be redeemed and be able to kill him once and for all. But he is, and this is why we still see Eärendil in the sky, everybody, is because Eärendil is up there guarding the Door of Night, where Morgoth was banished to. With all of this chaos, though, that happened in Beleriand, the like northern western part of Beleriand, pretty much the entire west, really, dropped into the sea.
Yeah.
There was so much damage done and so much chaos that happened there, that it completely got changed again. Right?
I forget what the mountain range was. That's like
that like where it split.
It was the eastern mountain range.
Right.
Now it's like the
western
mountain range.
It was like the mountain range where everybody. Anytime it said that they like went to the east.
Yeah.
So like men and elves, it's because they crossed that mountain range, right?
Right.
And now it's like if you look at a map of Middle Earth, like what we see is Middle Earth, not Beleriand, but you know, like Lord of the Rings Middle Earth. Yeah, it's like the furthest most western mountain range.
Yeah.
So a big chunk of land just fell right into the sea. And some
places are still like above the sea. Like I think some of like the hallowed places.
Yeah.
Are still above the sea on like little islands.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, everything else is gone.
Yep. And most of the, elves, decided to go back to Valinor. Not all of them, right? There were plenty of like green elves and stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, like, so the Teleri who were still there, right? Decided to go.
Yep.
The Noldor who had survived, were allowed to go back.
Yep.
Right, including Galadriel.
But right? She did not.
But she did not. And you know, Gil-galad and.
Galadriel was actually the only elf who crossed the Helcarax and was still there and stayed.
Yeah.
Like she's the only one that's still in Middle-earth that has basically seen all of that shit, right?
And part
like,
of that and part of that is her pride, right?
Yep.
I think they write about that, like it was her pride that she still wanted to.
She still wanted to do what she was supposed to do.
Right.
And now that Morgoth was gone,
she also,
it would be easier.
But she also has a spouse.
Right.
Right.
Well,
who's not Celeborn, going anywhere.
Sure. Celeborn exists, I guess.
I mean, he does exist. It's not like we made him up.
Yeah, so really like the only notable elves that stick around are Círdan, Galadriel, Celeborn, Celebrimbor, Gil-galad, and Elrond, because Elrond at this point has decided to be an elf.
Yeah.
Right?
His brother,
however, has decided to be a man.
But we'll talk about him.
He comes into it way more in the Second Age, which
starts after this episode is over.
Now. No, that's right, people. We're doing a two-part. No, we're not.
We're
it's too
not
late
doing
for that
a two-part.
But yeah, that's the wrap-up. We wrapped up the first age.
I've been doing
this for almost 3.5 years. No.
It hasn't been 3.5 years.
Almost.
No, because the Tom Bombadil one, it was like, you had just gotten to your 3-year anniversary with the podcast.
It was January 2020 when I started.
Yeah. So, yeah, 4 months.
So it's been a bit.
Yeah. 3 years, 4 months.
It took a while to get through the first age, but the first age has a lot. Like, we know that that's got the most information on it. It takes a while to get through. We still have a couple. I mean, we got thousands of years ahead of us, everybody.
If it took us this long to do the first age,
it was only 600 years.
We're going to be podcasting for another 9 years.
To be completely honest, we also did the Years of the Trees and all of that nonsense too, which isn't necessarily accounted for in the first
that's
age.
That's true. That's not the first age.
But, you know, it's the thing.
It's not an age, though.
No. Nah.
It's just the years of.
The years of. But yeah, I mean, I'm assuming at this point you've got all of these elves, the Valar, all the Maia, just back in Valinor, probably having a party again and being like, hey, we made the place safe.
Not all the Maia.
We did the thing.
Not all the Maia.
Not all of them?
Not all the Maia. To be
so...
continued.
So yeah, next time we do a history, because our next podcast will not be a history. Our next podcast will be with a very special guest that I'm really excited about, because I need to talk about this subject. I love talking about this subject. So our next
this
one,
the same subject we've been talking about for a couple weeks now.
Yeah. So we're going to have a special guest on our next one. It won't be a history one. But we will, next time we do a history, we're going to be on age two, second age, year one. And there's some shit that happens second age, year one.
Yeah.
And so it'll be fun to talk about that, to get into that. And to talk a little bit about the Second Age. Second Age is where, after all, the Rings of Power take place. One of our favorite TV shows currently in existence. I haven't gone back and watched it through again for a while. It's been a minute.
Yeah.
I've watched it through 3 times, but they were all pretty close to each other. Like, I haven't watched it again since, like, December.
Yeah.
But that's what we'll be getting into in the next history episodes is the Second Age. Pretty great.
Finally did it. We did
We
it.
finally we did it. We made
Oof.
through. I didn't know that we were gonna make it through this last part of the First Age. There was definitely a lot, but I was like, let's just power through this shit.
That
Let's
wasn't
go.
that much.
Let's go. Let's do it.
There's a fuck, you know, this has been an hour and a half.
That's not bad. It's not bad.
Right.
All right, man. So everybody, check us out on Instagram, on Spotify, on TikTok. We are at the underscore swole hero. We are on YouTube. We have gear up on our TikTok and on our Instagram. We have our link tree that's got links to all of the shenanigans that we have. So our YouTube, our Spotify, it's got our links to our Teespring account, which is where all of our merch is. It's got our does it have our Discord?
I think it does have our Discord. I think it has also the Conqueror Challenge on there.
All right, cool.
Or it might, we might want to take that down,
At
that
this point,
link.
yeah, we
Yeah.
probably should.
Since we're into the second leg.
So hit us up, everybody. Talk to us. Let us know what you think, what you like. We're still getting a good amount of listens, even though I've been pretty sporadic on my
Postings.
postings. So thank you for everybody that listens. As we promised, we will again thank Sam for being such a faithful listener and one of two of our Patreons. We thank the other one so very often because she's been such a great part of the community, and that's Callie. And she's, I mean, I say great part of the community. She fucking built the community, let's be real.
Yeah.
We are, so we're in all of those places. Come find us, talk to us, reach out, ask us questions, do whatever the fuck. We'll answer. It'll be fun. And I think that's mostly it for today. I mean, one last thing. Do you have anything for us, Carlos?
Bye.